encouraged and poured into the ministry of Ways. We have been able to take those care packages and share them across the world with Army and National Guard and all of those that are in the special services. And it's been an absolute blessing. And I'm sorry, Pastor, I don't know the numbers that Nicole shared earlier.
We'll go to the second page.
Oh. I was going to try to wig it. Amen. Amen. So, the Troop Project mailed out these care packages this week to Kuwait in the month of August, and the Air Forces in Jordan in September. The boxes are being purchased and packaged up. It's not just it's Bible material, and it's tallits, and it's oil, but it's also personal care items. And it's a women's ministry feeding women. So it's just been extremely powerful. I feel so wonderful to be a part of this. Any way that you can share, and it's not, like we were saying earlier, it's not just about monetary. It's about also your personal, when God is speaking to you, sometimes it's just for you, but then sometimes it's to share to others. So don't take it lightly if there's a word that you're supposed to share with the masses.
Yes.
And this is an opportunity. If the Lord is speaking to you specifically about those that are guarding our country, don't be shy about sending that in.
Amen.
There was a email address for that.
Yes.
Yes.
S4C.
Reach up. S4C reach up at gmail.com. Amen. So there is that wonderful, yet another thing that God is doing through us. Amen. So let's get excited about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is moving. He's in this house. Amen. Let's be excited about it. Let's pray so Sandy can get into his part. He's excited too, so we're going to get busy in the Lord. Amen?
Okay.
You guys ready to eat?
Yes.
Yes. Let's pray. Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for this blessed day, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Jesus, for our wonderful prayer service, dear Jesus. We feel your presence in that. Lord, we feel you, dear Lord, moving, dear Jesus, and speaking to us and encouraging us, Lord. So we're praying, dear Jesus, right now, dear Lord, as we receive to hear your word this afternoon, dear Lord, that you make it plain, dear Lord. Help us to hear with clarity, dear Jesus. Open our spiritual hearts to receive, dear Lord. Lord, we pray over Pastor Sandy, dear Lord, that you continue to fill his cup, dear Lord, out to a point of overflow, dear Lord. Let us sup with him this afternoon, dear Jesus, and let us continue in the excitement of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Here's your...
I got that.
Yeah, I'm a professional at this. Don't take my notes. Don't take my notes.
Those are not your notes. These are my notes. Oh, those are your notes.
Yeah. No fussing in the pulpit. That's one of the rules. All right. Okay. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. Elohim Tov. Cole Hazma, praise God, praise God. All right, we got people that have drove long ways to get here. Man, is that Paris on the back? Is that Paris? You look good, bro. Praise God. Jeremiah, it won't be long. He holding on for as long as he can. He's joining the military. Okay, cut his dreads off. All right. Praise the Lord. We're going to get it right into this. I do want to thank the brother for coming down from Georgia. You came all the way from Georgia? Man, praise God. Came to visit us. And our family, you guys are from Diego, right? And they're from Diego. Praise God, man. This is awesome. Okay. I'm really excited to get into this message because the Lord gave it to me this morning. Someone had posted a a thing that said that the shot that they're giving people is the mark of the beast. And I went, no, it's not. And they went, yes, it is. Let's just agree to disagree. So I left it at that. Let's just agree to disagree. And it's not. And I know why it's not, because what year was that? Did we do a study on the recombinant DNA technology? Oh. It was like 2013 or something. Okay. So sometimes when I want to know something, or if God gives me this push to want to know something, I realize I could have been a really good student in college. You know what I mean? Because I really like to learn, but I have to be interested. You understand?
Right.
And so I'm listening to this professor at MIT talk about recombinant DNA technology and how it works and how it cuts into your DNA and how it can replicate into your DNA. And so they can, by doing this, they can mix animals, they can mix any type of being, they can mix it by taking a DNA from a foreign and cutting it into another host, and that your DNA will replicate whatever DNA has been attached to it. And it'll keep replicating until it splits and you're half and half.
Right.
Okay? Now, scientists are at MIT studying this on the behalf of saying, well, we will be able to connect a cure for you inside of your DNA if you have a defect, and that cure will run through your body, and then you'll be cured and you'll no longer have such and such or such and such, right? Because Hannah Hash is a liar. You know who Hannah Hash is?
Satan.
That means Satan, serpent. That's how you say serpent in Hebrew. He's a liar. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he's the father of lies. That means like he authored the whole thing. There was never a lie told until Satan began lying, okay? So you can never depend on Satan to tell you the truth, okay? The truth is in the Word of God. If you want to know the truth, it's right there, okay? Pray about it. Get your answers from God, because the world is going to lie because they've been lied to. Okay?
Amen.
So I was reading in the book of Jasher, and the Jasher gives the account of Adam and the beginning. And in the book of Jasher, it talks about the angels that decided they were going to rebel against God, the 200 angels. And they said, hey, we're going to take wives for ourselves, and we're going to breed offsprings from human wives, from human women, and angels are going to mix with these human women, and we'll have a different breed of people in the earth called Nephilim. And what Nephilim means is fallen ones, okay? So you'd have this completely different breed of human beings living on the earth. Now, the problem with angels mixing with women was that the children that were birthed to them became giants, some of them as tall as 9-10 feet tall, and they had crazy appetites, and they were devouring all the food, and when they ran out of food, they started devouring people. And so we don't want to get into everything that they were doing, because we don't want to scare the kids. They'd be waking up but let me tell you, it was a crazy situation. Now, this is right before the flood. So God not only has to destroy the earth because of the sins of man, because wait a minute, don't think we were so good, because he says the heart of man and all everything that he thought of was wicked at all times.
Yep.
And God said, I'm going to destroy. He said, matter of fact, he said, and I'm sorry I ever made them. He said, I repent that I ever made them. I forget the Hebrew word. It said he wept over the fact that he had made them.
Yeah.
Because of the thoughts of man was always wicked at all times.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So our own flesh and what Eve had done has done something to our thinking and our flesh that pushes us to sin.
Yeah.
Okay? And so God saw the fallen angels, what's going on, and he says, I'm going to destroy everything so that I can save the human race out of this mess, okay? Amen. So that was the first, this rebellion that happened. Now, I want to talk to you about 9/11. 9/11, we had how many buildings standing? Two. Okay? Both buildings were destroyed. Right after both buildings were destroyed, George Bush came on national television and read Psalms 23 because he was claiming to be a Christian. And unlike Obama, he never messed up by saying, my Muslim, then he go, oh, no, I mean my Christian faith. George Bush was claiming to be a Christian. Only problem is he was a Bones member. What's that?
Skull and Bones.
The Skull and Bones member. And you can't be a Skull and Bones member and a Christian, right? So, but he came on and he read Psalms 23. Both towers had fallen. When they rebuilt it and called it the One World Trade Center, Obama came on TV and read Psalms 46. Now, do we know why they did that? Because see, demons are playing these games in the world and we're not recognizing it because we don't really believe there's a war going on for your soul, okay? So they're playing this, and so you get 46 chromosomes, 23 and 23, they're in pairs, okay? Now, what Satan wanted to do, because when the angels were doing this, God rebuked them because they had started mixing animals with different animals. See, there was a reason why everything had to be done.
Yeah.
They were mixing animals with different animals. They had figured out how to mix DNA. So Satan's thing is he wants to get back to the original. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. So he wants to get back to the original and mess up the DNA of human beings. And so once he messes up, if you don't have the DNA, because your DNA belongs to God, it is uniquely designed for God, okay? If you mix your DNA, you are no longer a spiritual God being with the ability to be resurrected. Because remember, God is resurrecting you from what? Your DNA. So he wants to destroy the DNA of all human beings so that in doing so, none of them will qualify for salvation. This is why in the book of Revelation, it tells you, if anyone receives the mark, okay, it says that he cannot be saved. Do you understand? And he will suffer punishment because a person who takes the mark has made an allegiance with Lucifer, and he has decided that he would much rather survive the physical world and be on side than die. And now, this brings me back to the shot thing. If you don't know what recombinant DNA technology is, then you don't understand that this can't be it. You understand? Mm-hmm. You don't understand that this can't be it. First of all, in the tribulation, there'll be nobody taking an exempt letter to their job. Double dog dare you. All right? But I've heard from a few people, they said, I submitted the exempt letter, and they said, my job accepted it, and I don't have to do it. Hallelujah, praise God. I'm like, they were like, thank you for the letter, right? I'm like, cool, it's working. I said, but in the tribulation, I would double dog dare you to go to the Antichrist and say, I have an exempt letter. I'm a born again Christian. I love the Lord, and I can't take something with 666 on it. I dare you to do it.
Yeah.
They're gonna go, thank you very much. Have a seat right there. Yeah. I'm gonna make a phone call. Don't you go nowhere. Head choppers. Because that is, so let me tell you something. There's no such thing as you being exempt from it during the tribulation.
Right.
It's something that will be forced upon people.
Yeah.
And now listen. The interview that the director had with the Rothschild guy, that he said, we're going to get everybody chipped so that all of their finances and information is on the chip. And if anyone tries to buck the system, we'll just turn off their chip. Now, it's one thing to say, I want you to do it, else you're going to lose your job. It's another thing to say it, I want you to do it, or you won't even be able to buy anything or sell anything. And anyone that, the guy in Japan said, anyone that tries to sell you any material or any product during the tribulation, tries to sell it to you, will be in danger of dying too. So people will be afraid to sell you food. And if you don't have the chip, you can't buy food. So that's a whole different situation that's coming,
yeah.
Okay? There is a 7-year tribulation, and it's coming soon. So my job is to make sure that you're ready,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Not for you to stop living. Forgot right. The guy is telling people, well, it's gonna happen in 2011 on July, blah, 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 blah. Sell your house and bring your money to me and blah, blah. Nine, I'm not stupid. I wouldn't take $1 billion to not have Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
So the thing is, you're supposed to keep living. You're supposed to occupy until you leave.
Amen.
Because somebody may need you on your job.
Amen.
That's right.
I'm leaving my job because the Lord's coming. You get back to work. Because somebody on your job doesn't know Christ. God has us all positioned. Wherever you're at, that's where God's working.
Yes.
That's where you're ministering. Yes. Okay?
Amen.
So that's why he has us occupying. Because he's doing stuff up there. Okay?
Amen.
I want us to read Revelation chapter 13. And it's a war for your soul, you guys. Because we're going to talk about plasmic vectors. You know what plasmic vectors are?
No. Tell us.
I'm not going to tell you till after we read Revelation 13. I'm not going to tell you. But that's one of the things I had to go back and learn. Because, now, here, let's read this first. Okay, Revelation chapter 13, and we are going to be at, let's start at verse 10. Let's see, I think we'll start at verse 10. Yeah, verse 11. Let's start at verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf, and he made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast whose wound was who had been wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refuse to worship the image to be killed. No exempt letters. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark, the Greek says, in his right hand or in his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark. So you can't go to the store like you can now, still get your groceries, so that means it's not it, right? He had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. And it says, this calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast and is the number of man, and it is 666. Now, where are they going to receive the mark? In their hand or in their forehead? Now, I'm going to explain to you what this word is. A plasmic vector is a portion in your body that your DNA, we'll call it, it has like a an entrance way, an entrance panel, okay? So your plasmic vectors are in your body, but these are easily manipulated tunnels that I can insert a foreign DNA into, and it will replicate in that plasmic vector, okay? And it'll continue to replicate. Now, if you did it in some other part of the body, it would might replicate, but then it would stop, and then the whole system would die out. But if you put it in a plasmic vector, it's easily manipulated. Well, it will continue replicating whatever foreign DNA you put in it. It will continue replicating it, okay? And so they want to know where the plasmic vectors are in the body so that they can, when they insert, they want to be the foreign DNA to connect to where it's going to begin the replication process, okay? Because Satan's plan is still the same as Genesis. And that's to what? Destroy the DNA of humankind. If there had been no flood, everyone would have been infected with Nephilim gene pool. And no humans would have been saved. But 8 were saved that were not infected with a Nephilim gene pool. And so how God did it or is not for me to know, but I know this. They were not infected. So that allowed God to start over with his process. Then, if you notice, then whenever the Israelites they would go somewhere, God would tell them, when you get there, kill everybody. Why? Because there's Nephilim in the land. It says, kill the wives, kill the husbands, kill the children, kill the animals. Everything. Why was he telling them that? God's like, oh my goodness, God is so cruel. No, God's trying to get rid of every last Nephilim on the planet. And in this time, you know what he wants to do? He wants to get rid of every Nephilim on the planet. Okay, let me read this so we can put you guys at MIT in the lecture hall. Okay, now, recombinant DNA is a hybrid, okay? DNA that has been created from more than one source. The basic procedure is where the DNA strand is opened up and then the gene and another organism is inserted, making a new strand of DNA. Then the RNA replicates the new strand and it passes into the entire system. You hear that? The left arm, the structural gene for that is for the head and the tail of whatever they're going to put in you. The central region of the body is for lip genome growth and recombination insertion genomes like this. The right hand and arm are involved in the DNA replication. The right hand, okay? So I'm trying to figure out, okay, it only mentioned the right hand. Why didn't it mention the forehead? So I kept studying, and I looked up something called plasmic vectors, reference to any piece of molecule that contains genetic material can be replicated and expressed and transferred into another cell. Plasmids are good cloning vectors, so they use this system also when they're cloning another human being. The origin of DNA replication is in the right hand, the forehead, and the right eye. So how did God know that in 90 AD? Huh? So they're repeating Revelation chapter 13 in a lecture hall at MIT. He's saying the plasmid vectors, the best place you can do it in the forehead. They even gave you a little picture of it. You can do it in the forehead, or you can do it in the right eye. And they showed you like a picture of just the right eye, because that's where the plasmid vectors are, and in the right hand and the right. And I'm like, how did God know that? So we have to understand and know that God already told you what's coming before it came.
Yes.
Okay? So this practice thing, what they're doing now, because they want to know, are humans easily controlled or not? Let's put it to the test. Let's tell them the common cold is a deadly disease. Let's put it on every channel. Let's tell them if they don't do this and wear that, that they're gonna fall out and die, right? And all of this, I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to put it on TV. And now, will you accept it or not? Now, to do this, we're going to have to show that many people are dropping dead. A matter of fact, if we don't have enough, let's get some mannequins and roll them in and show and put it on the news and show them how bad it's getting. So they got caught twice, right? Using mannequins. Yep. Saying, oh, look what's going on in this hospital. There are no beds available. I went to the hospital. I was at the hospital, so empty. I was like, they're talking about there's no beds available. But this is the thing, because I'm trying to manipulate you through fear, right? Okay. So since you don't know, see, I got kicked off of Facebook early this week because I said coronavirus has always been the common cold. Or the flu. It has always been, the medical book said it's always been the common cold, right? So it's like, you can no longer post for the next 3 days, you're in jail. And I was like, oh man, I messed up again. So they really don't want you to know, right? They really don't want you to know, but can we control human beings? Can we make them do what we want? And how do we control them? Okay? And that's what this is about, control. But it's not at the ultimate state, because the Spirit of God is still in the world. You understand? And so the true war hasn't begun, but they are practicing. Mm-hmm. Okay? And they're discovering that it works. Okay? Because I'm still seeing people in a car by themselves with a mask on. And I go, I don't even say anything anymore. You know why? Because to say anything insulting to someone who's been deceived is the wrong thing to do. Because deception has fallen upon all of us. Okay? So just understand that they're practicing now. This is not the real thing. Okay, let's continue. And let's go to Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to get my Hebrew book. When you get to Genesis chapter 3. Did I say Genesis chapter 3?
Yes.
Praise God. I'm not as old as I think. Okay, and it says here, Vehanahash Haya Arum Mikol Hayat. That means the serpent was more crafty than all of the other beasts of the field. What's his name? His name is not Hanahash. Ha is the in Hebrew. Nahash means serpent. Okay? And the serpent said to Eve, what did he say to Eve? Let's read it. And the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which Elohim had made. And he said to the woman, is it true that Elohim said, do not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we are to eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the middle or in the midst of the garden, God has said, do not eat of it, nor touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall certainly not die. Don't worry, you're not. If you eat of it, you will certainly not die. A matter of fact, Elohim knows that if you eat of it, you'll become just like him and you'll know good and evil. I can become a god? Yes. Is this a lie?
No.
Then he says, Ki Elohim, right? You will become Ki Elohim, like God. First 666 word in the Bible, right? So you're going to become just like God. And then, so God says, this will be the first word with 666 value in the Bible. So now, Hanahash is a liar. Okay, I want us to go to 1 Samuel chapter 11. Someone was asking me about, did God choose the chapters and verses? Yes, he did. There's a reason why this chapter is in chapter 11. Because 11 is the number of confusion, okay? And so this confusion comes through who? Hanahash, okay? So I want you to know and understand that the serpent and what he's going to do and how long the tribulation is going to last and who's going to make an agreement with him was already written. My last three messages, the Lord wants you to know, I wrote the book. It's happening just like I said it did. Why are you people panicking? It's like the girl that Pastor Ben told her. Hey, Pat, no, she called me first. I had a dream that Pastor Ben prayed over me, and then you start saying personal stuff, and then about my life, and I was like, well, that's good. Well, get to prayer and let Pastor Ben pray over you. Pastor Ben, she came, Pastor Ben said exactly what she had told me, and I didn't even talk to Pastor Ben. I just told her to get to prayer. He said exactly what she said she saw in her dream. Pastor Ben said it and prayed over her. To the point she got mad and left, and they never came back to the church. So I said, what's the problem? She said, he did exactly what I told you in my dream. I said, I didn't tell him what you told me. So if it happened, maybe the Lord wanted you to hear that. So understand, when God tells you something and he tells you before, pay attention.
Yes.
Okay? God wants you to know, I told you everything that was going to happen before, so you will know you're going to be all right. I wrote it this way. Mm-hmm. Okay? I'm still coming for you. The restrainer has to take you out of here. Yeah, it looks bad because you're on the boat and the water's around. There's bodies in the water. It doesn't look very nice.
Right.
Okay? But you're in the middle of a situation, but you're leaving. So don't worry about it. I wrote this first. Are you in 1 Samuel chapter 11?
Yeah.
What's the first name there that's mentioned? Nahash. What does that mean?
Snake.
Serpent. The snake. Okay? So God gives this guy this name because this is a prophecy about the future. It said, Nahash, the Ammonite, went up and besieged Jabesh-Gilead. That's the Jewish people, the Israelites. And all the men of Jabesh said to him, make a treaty with us, and we will be subject to you. Is Israel going to ask the Antichrist to make a treaty with them?
Yeah.
Yes. When did he write about it? In Revelation or in 1 Samuel? Here it is, already been written about in 1 Samuel. Now watch this. He says, make a treaty with us and we will be subject to you. But Nahash, the Ammonite, replied, I will make a treaty with you only on condition that I can gouge out your right eye and every one of you so bring disgrace on all Israel. So he wants to gouge out each of their right eyes and bring disgrace on Israel, and then I'll make a. Now, I never understood this gouging out the right eye until I realized that the plasmic victor, one of the strong places, it's the right eye. Allow me to change your DNA.
Watch out.
And then I will let, then I will rule over you. So they say, but Nahash the Ammonite replied, I will make a treaty with you only on the condition that I gouge out your right eye of every one of you and bring disgrace on Israel. The elder of Jabez, the Jewish people, said to him, give us 7 days so we can send message throughout Israel. If no one comes to rescue us, we will surrender to you. Now, here goes the 7-year tribulation. Remember, when they make the agreement, it's for 7 days or 7 years of tribulation. You understand? So he's making they're making the agreement, but he says, let's give this 7 days. If nobody comes to rescue us, we'll serve you. Okay? So here we go. When the messenger came to Geba, Saul had reported these terms to the people, and they all wept aloud. Just then Saul was returning from the field and behind his oxen, and he said, what is wrong with the people? Why are they weeping? When they repeated to him what the men of Jabesh had said, when Saul heard their words, the Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he burned with anger. He took a pair of oxen and cut them into pieces and sent the pieces by messenger throughout Israel, proclaiming, this is what will be done to the oxen of everyone who does not allow or does not follow Saul and Samuel. Then the terror of the Lord fell upon the people, and they turned out as one man when Saul mustered them at Bezek. The men of Israel numbered 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. They told the messenger who had come, say to the man of Jabesh Gilead, by the time the sun is hot tomorrow, you will be delivered. You hear that?
Yeah.
I'm gonna stop and just let that sink in. Tell the men of Jabesh Gilead. Now, when they heard about it, what did they all do? They all started crying. They get a word from Saul, the king. And he says, go tell them, by this time tomorrow, you will be delivered. Okay? So now, they either can continue crying, or they can believe Saul that he's going to rescue them. Who is Saul? The king, the new king, appointed king of Israel. Let's continue. By the time the sun is hot tomorrow, you will be delivered. When the messengers went and reported this to the men of Jabesh, they were elated. They said to the Ammonites, tomorrow we will surrender to you, and you can do to us whatever seems good to you. Now listen, they're smart. They're real smart. They're saying, okay, he said, by tomorrow when the sun comes up, we're going to be delivered. Let's tell him by tomorrow we'll surrender. Because either we're getting rescued or we're going to surrender. Okay? So one of these two things are going to happen. Okay? Now, it says, tomorrow we will surrender to you and you can do to us whatever seems good to you. The next day, Saul separated his men into three divisions. During the last watch of the night, they broke into the camp of the Ammonites and slaughtered them until the heat of the day. Those who survived were scattered, and it says, so that no two of them were left together. The people then said to Samuel, who was it that asked, shall Saul rule over us? Now, he comes and he rescues them, just like he said he would. Now he says, now who were the men that said Saul shouldn't rule over us? That's what the men want to know. Because in Israel, there's a whole group of people saying, Yeshua's not reigning over us. He's not our king. He's not our Messiah. So, but when Yeshua comes back at the end of the 7 years, he rescues them, right? Then, now this man is standing up saying this. Now, when Yeshua comes back and he rescues Israel, is he going to destroy them because they didn't believe in him?
No.
No. What's he going to do? He's going to bring them in, rescue them, and start the kingdom. Let's see if he already wrote this. It says, but Saul said, okay, it says, the people said to Samuel, who was it that asked, shall Saul reign over us and bring these men to us, and we will put them to death? But Saul said, no one shall be put to death today, for this day the Lord has rescued Israel. Then Solomon said to the people, come, let us go to Gilgal and there reaffirm the kingship. So all the people went to Gilgal and confirmed that Saul as king in the presence of the Lord. And they sacrificed fellowship offerings before the Lord, and Saul and all the Israelites held a great celebration. So when Jesus comes and rescues them, what happens? They're going to have a great celebration. Okay? But God has already told you in the book of Samuel how it's going to go. The people of Israel are going to accept the seven-year agreement with Israel. I mean, with the Antichrist. But at the end of it, they're going to be rescued out of it. And when the one king that comes and rescues them, he's not going to destroy him. He's going to bring them in as family, and they're all going to celebrate. A matter of fact, we'll be at that celebration.
Yes.
Okay. So understand, the story has already been written. I wanted to do something before. 10 minutes? Okay. Now, for the sake of, because I know, see, Satan's a liar, but I love YouTube, but I realize if Satan gives you something, it's going to come with a price, right? And we have YouTube, but all YouTube has done is open the whole gamut up for liars. So now you got to be really careful who you listen to, okay? Because YouTube, nobody has to be called. Nobody needs a license. No, and they will pay you if you get enough people to listen to you. So you can be a YouTube preacher, preach the craziest, nuttiest stuff in the world, and if you get enough followers, YouTube will pay you. Is that God? No. God, either if God didn't call you, you shouldn't be speaking.
That's right.
Okay. Where did I say we were going to go? Oh, we're going to go to Micah chapter 7. Because I want you guys to know, God did something last month with me that he wanted me to know. You're right on time. Everything is in perfect timing. Don't worry about it. So he said the raven is going to be released upon the earth. Okay? A raven is going to be released upon the earth. That means evil is going to start on this day. 16th, 17th of August is the 9th of Av. It's the true 9th of Av, not last month, what people thought. Because you know, Sandy, from studying, that the equinoxes and the solstice are in the Bible, and God know when a year is supposed to begin, and you know that Israel started their year a month early. So you know the next month on August 16th, 17th will be the ninth of Av. That's when evil is going to be released. White House, to Washington Monument, gets struck by lightning right on the top, same day, right, same evening. Some people, no, it happened on the 15th. It was at evening. That means it was the 16th in Israel, okay? It gets struck. And then the same day, the Afghanistan thing started. And so now the raven's been released. Now, I wanted you to think about how, if the raven's been released, that means evil's not coming back. It's going to get worse and worse. Has it been getting better?
Nope.
Since that day? I mean, what about with tornadoes and stuff? Okay. I heard a guy in New York, they rescued him out of his car. He said, I never seen this much water in my life. It's like the days of Noah. I said, he don't even know what he just said.
Right.
So all of this happened and it's still going on. And then God said, 7 days after that, the dove's going to be released and come back with a olive branch in his mouth. So look for something to happen in Israel on the 23rd and 24th. They had a riot at the border. A Israeli kid got shot. They start bombing Hamas. So now they're still bombing, even in Syria, trying to get the Iranians out of there. So all of this stuff is going on, and it happened in the same too. And he said, then the next week after that, he released the dove, and the dove didn't come back, which I thought, okay, if the dove don't come back, that's the Holy Spirit taking us out. Let's go.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. You didn't see. You didn't. You saw my post this morning on Facebook because they let me back in. I was like, you can get out of jail now. I had a dog on there, but he looked so sad. His little mouth was like this. And I just wrote on top, I'm still barking. A little upset. But I'm still barking. And people said, well, when are you going to stop talking about the rapture? You see it haven't happened. You've been talking about this for a long time. Right after the rapture, I promise you, I'm not going to speak about the rapture anymore.
Hello. Amen.
I promise you.
Amen.
I promise you.
Amen.
Because the Lord said, everybody's accountable. If you've been called by me, you're accountable. I can't preach to you what you want to hear so that I can gain members.
Right.
Okay? I can't do things to promote the church growth. We've been here where it's been packed, and we've been here where it's been two.
Me and you.
Right. Me and Pastor Ben.
Right.
And either one, God has sustained us.
That's right.
So I'm going to continue doing what God says.
Amen.
And God says, prepare my people to leave.
Yes.
And obviously he's not going to tell me exactly when, but he says it's up to the king to search out a matter, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm going to keep searching out the matter, because my thing is, I want you to leave on time.
Yeah.
And I don't want you playing church.
Amen.
And I don't want the trumpet to blast and you in your living room dancing to the Snoop Dogg's latest.
Mm. Right.
Amen. You going, what was that? Because you don't want to live. Who wants to live on both sides of the track? Either you're going to live on Christ's side or you're going to live on that side. You understand?
Right. Amen.
You don't want to try to do both.
Amen.
It's a dangerous thing.
Amen.
To try to be, I'm going to live halfway Christian and I'm going to live halfway in the world. I'm going to do shots with my friends on Friday, but on Sunday I'm going to sing in a choir. See, you can't do both, right?
Amen.
You got a Bible in this hand and a cigarette in that hand. You know, I'm not saying if you smoke cigarettes, you're going to hell. I'm just saying you got a drink and a cigarette in this hand. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like you got to understand you can't do both. Someone asked me, do lukewarm people have the Spirit of God in them? Obviously not. Because when he comes, he's looking for the Spirit of God so that he can see where you are. And if you don't have a light burning, obviously you don't have it.
That's right.
So a lukewarm person is being trying to be persuaded by the Holy Spirit to turn and repent. Receive repentance is part of our package.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Amen.
I ain't got to be perfect. A guy told me, hey, man, you ain't going to hit me because you're a Christian. I said, I got a forgiveness package, dude. You in danger. You don't tell me what I'm going to do or not going to do. So I didn't. But I'm just saying, if I had to exercise the package, he would have been in trouble. So I want you to know I'm trying to get you there. And I don't want you playing with this. You understand?
Amen.
Rosh Hashanah, some people say, it's going to be on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is September 6th and 7th. It's a month early. It's not a time. That's why God showed me last month. The ninth of Av is this day, and then the next week is this is going to happen. And it happened just the way God told me. He said, go write it down. And it happened just the way he told me. Okay? That's why I was like, okay, this is it. Now, Rosh Hashanah is a month early. So a lot of people are going to start saying, oh, Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, the trumpets are going to blow, and we're going to be all out of here, and blah, 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 whatever. Okay? But I'm telling you, it's a month early. I don't know when it's happening, but I'm telling you, Rosh Hashanah is not the 6th and 7th of September. It's October 6th and 7th. Okay? Now, and summer doesn't end till September 22nd, which the harvest of the wheat happens before the end of summer. Okay? Now I go to Micah chapter 7, verse 1. 5 minutes, I can do that. Here's the voice of God. It says, what misery is mine? I am like one who gathers summer fruit at the gleaning of the vineyard. There is no cluster of grapes to eat, none of the early figs that I crave. The righteous, and it says kesed in the Hebrew, the righteous have disappeared from the land. That's the Hebrew word. The righteous have disappeared from the land. Not one upright man remains. All men lie in wait to shed blood. Each hunts his brother with a net. Both hands are skilled in doing evil. The rulers demand a gift. The judge accept bribes. The powerful dictate what they desire. They all conspire together. The best of all the people that'll be on the earth after we're gone are like briars. And the most upright of them are like a thorn hedge. What's the thorn hedge? The bush that was burning?
Yes.
That thorn hedge represents Satan. Because God was showing him, you're going to burn and not being consumed. The day your watch, it says, the day of your watchman has come. The day God visits you, now is the time of their confusion. That's the number 11. Now comes the time of their confusion. Once the rapture happens, the world is going to be in the 11. It's going to be in confusion. It says, be careful who you lie with. Every man is after blood. Every man wants to tell on you to get a reward. He tried to buy something from me. He doesn't have the mark. How could you do that with brothers? It's the tribulation. I'm just letting you know, everything changes then. You understand? No exempt letters. None of all of this stuff that we see as privilege. No, I can still go to the store. I just have to wear a mask. You can't even get in the store when that time comes. Okay? So right now, we should still be praising God and talking confidence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Either our confidence is in God, or is our confidence is in CNN, ABC, NBC. We're going to have to choose. Who's going to rescue you? Who's God? Is it the media, or is it the God of the Bible? Saul told them, listen. And who was Saul representing in that story? Christ. He says, by tomorrow sunset, you'll be delivered. And that's what happened. So God is saying, look, everybody who's all worried about blah, 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 and blah, 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 by the time it happens, you will be delivered, okay?
Hallelujah.
You are in God's hand. Satan is not going to overcome the church.
That's right.
You are in his hand.
Yeah.
Did you go to the store today? Yes, Lord, I did. Did they stop you and check for the mark? No.
Right.
Are you still looking pretty human? Because you start growing 6 or 7 inches, you got enough room, little, there's something in you that's wrong.
Hello.
You wake up 7'4", something's in you
right.
That ain't right. But what you have in you, because a lot of people have taken it on the advice of their pastor.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying the pastor is bad, he's deceived too.
Yeah.
When he gets on his click, well, let's see what CNN and ABC and NBC has to say about it. I'm trying to get people to be rescued.
Yes.
I'm trying to tell you, you can be rescued from what's coming.
Yes.
It's the same as the lady told me at the Jewish synagogue. She said, we tried to get people out. They tried to get people out of Germany before it happened. Many people were giving us warnings about how bad things were getting. And they say, while you can get out, we should get out.
Yeah.
And during by the time the Holocaust came, most of the people did not listen and leave. But she said some people did leave. She said, you see my number on here? My family said, we'll be all right. Everything will get better. Don't worry, Trump will be back. Whatever you're saying, the Bible is not saying that. The Bible is saying prepare yourself to get out of here, because when it happens, it's going to be worse than you've ever seen before. Okay? And so let's praise God now, because this is a great time. Do you realize for eternity in heaven, as people talk to you, they will say, so how did you die on earth?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll go, oh, I was part of the rapture squad.
Yeah.
I was part of that trip. And they'll go, oh, what was it like? You'll be the very few people to be able to say, what was it like? Well, girl, you know, I was kicking it in the front yard, cutting some roses. Then I was up here. And then Pastor Sadie pulled me around and said, let's dance. And we started dancing. And it's been like that. You know what I mean? Your story has been told already. God knows what's going to happen. You can't sit here letting the world tell you, you're going to die. Ooh, you're never going to make it. No, that's Satan. Okay? God's word to you is happening. I already told you it's going to happen. Look what's happening around you. It's happening just the way I said. Prepare yourself. Rejoice. You're about to go. That's what I'm doing. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.